Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
The Tour de France is not just the world's biggest bike race. It's the largest annual sporting event on the planet. According to its organizers, each year about 12 million people line the road to cheer on these cyclists, and 3.5 billion people in 190 countries tune in to watch the race. In 2018, the 2,082-mile race was divided into 21 stages, with cyclists riding over a variety of different challenging courses, including hills, high mountains, and road courses. After three grueling weeks, the riders finally made it to the finish line in Paris. And for the sixth time in 7 years, the team from Great Britain claimed the victory. Now, winning this race six times in the last 7 years is an extraordinary feat. But what makes this team's success truly amazing is that before this winning streak, a British rider had not won the Tour since its inception in 1903. So if you think your favorite sports team is hopeless, think again. The Brits were on a 110-year losing streak. Year after year, they performed so terribly that one of the top European bike manufacturers refused to sell them their bikes because they were afraid it would hurt their sales if other professionals saw them using their equipment. Consider these facts, and you can't help but wonder what changed. What is responsible for this incredible turnaround and the newfound astonishing success of the cycling team from Great Britain? The simple answer might surprise you. I recently read an article titled, "This coach improved every tiny thing by 1%, and here's what happened." The article told the story of Dave Brailsford, who began working with British cycling team in 2003. Brailsford implemented a new approach in British cycling, one he called the aggregation of marginal gains. His strategy was to seek a 1% improvement in everything that you could think of that goes into riding a bike competitively, from nutrition to training, the ergonomics of the bike seat, and the weight of the tires. He thought of every detail. He found, believe it or not, the pillow that offered each individual rider the most restful night of sleep. He looked into different massage gels to find which one promoted the quickest muscle recovery. He even hired a doctor to come in and teach his cyclists the best way to wash their hands to avoid catching a cold. Brailsford believed that if his team could successfully execute the strategy that he proposed in 2010, they could do what a 110-year losing streak would suggest is completely impossible. He thought they could win the Tour in 5 years. And he was wrong. They won it in three. Great Britain's cycling team achieved the seemingly impossible simply by improving every tiny thing by 1%. Keep that thought in mind and consider these words from our epistle this morning. St. John writes, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." In these verses, St. John begins by telling us we are now the children of God. This is who we are. No matter what you face, no matter how you feel, we are the beloved children of God. And though we do not know in this life what we shall be, we rest in the assurance that as sons and daughters of God, when our Lord appears, when we see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, we shall be like him. We shall be made like Christ, for we shall see him as he is. Bring to mind our Lord's second coming. Picture that day when Christ will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they'll gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. On that day, the creature will see the Creator as he is. Almighty God will be seen as he is in Christ. No longer will we live by faith. From that moment on, we will live by sight. For what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what is unspeakably glorious and truly fulfills our soul's deepest desire will at last be manifest through the light and glory radiating from God's one and only Son. My friends, the world couldn't care less about the unimaginable truth of our Lord's second coming as it is described in the pages of Holy Scripture. But as beloved children of God, this is our hope. And St. John tells us, everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. It is the will of God for his people to be conformed to the image of his Son. And the child of God, whose hope is grounded in the eager expectation of seeing God as he is, will continually strive for Christ-like holiness. Now that might sound like an impossible goal, and we may never achieve perfect holiness this side of heaven. But as sons and daughters of God, our hope is in him. And we must make that goal ours. After all, it was our Lord in his Sermon on the Mount who said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now, we often view the journey toward our most challenging goals as one that requires tremendous change and sacrifice in our lives. And while there are certainly moments when that is true, I would suggest it is far more common to reach a goal through a path similar to the one that led the British cycling team to victory. I believe most of the time, God isn't calling us to a single monumental sacrifice, but instead to a series of small sacrifices that lead us step by step into more perfect union and communion with him. Remember, we are the sons and daughters of God. God is our perfect heavenly Father, and as a Father, he is going to view every event in the daily lives of his children as an opportunity for growth. Growth in love, growth in holiness, growth in obedience, growth in this ongoing process of sanctification. And we must embrace every circumstance in our life as an opportunity for growth as well. One small step at a time. The path to holiness, the path that leads us to be conformed to the image of his Son, is not meant to be journeyed in leaps and bounds. It is instead an aggregation of marginal gains. It is a daily endeavor in which we strive to improve every aspect of our life by considering our every thought, our every word, and our every deed. seeking to bring all these aspects of our lives into conformity with God's perfect will. Now, in conclusion, consider this thought. Michelangelo was once asked how he completed one of his truly magnificent sculptures. And he explained the gradual, step-by-step process quite simply by saying, "I saw the angel in the marble and carved until I set him free." Beloved children of God, like an angelic image still trapped in a block of marble, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But know this, you are God's masterpiece. The omnipotent hand of Almighty God is at work in every detail of your life, and His holy word declares the truth that there will be a day when He shall appear and we will be everything God created us to be. So remember who you are and remember in whose hands you are. Anchor your hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and rest in the blessed assurance that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.